Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I have a full house for you today. All five guests showed up, and so that tells me today's show is going to be even more entertaining, interesting, and educational than usual. So I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do. That's right. I want you to wake your friends up. If you're on the West Coast, wake them up, get them up out of the bed. I want you to tweet them, text them, call them, whatever it takes. But friends, don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So that's right. Go ahead and hit that share button because they do not want to miss today's show. I can already tell from the energy backstage that today is going to be interesting. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce you to our first guest, Andrea Huber, and she is the co-founder of Solopreneur Society. Good morning, Andrea. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
Of course.
I'm excited to speak to you because your organization, your company is Solopreneur Society. And one of the things that I often talk about is when I started this entrepreneur journey, I missed all my coworkers. I'm like, everything else is great, but it's like, okay, I'm over here alone, trying to figure it out by myself. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do, Andrea.
I think it's so funny that you said that because that's one of the things that we say is that we are colleagues without cubicles.
Yes.
So the Solopreneur Society, you know, as solopreneurs, we're a different breed, right? But we know one thing to be true, and that is if we fully lean into our personality, our brand archetype, and we back that up with psychology-based methods, then we can win. You know, it doesn't matter the size of our business at that point, because what really mattered is how are we tapping into the psyche of our audience? So that's what we do at the Solopreneur Society. We help our clients and students focus on brand development, storytelling, and customer experiences.
How did you come up with the idea, though?
Of the Solopreneur Society?
Yes.
So I have a co-founder. Her name, ironically, is also Andrea. And she is a brand and design expert. I have the sales and marketing. And we have been, I don't like to use this term, but fangirling each other for many, many years because she helped me with the branding of my first company. And so we decided that, you know, there's no reason that we shouldn't partner up. And so we did, and we're out to disrupt the market. That's who we are.
Well, I love disruptors. Those are my favorite people. Those are the ones that I like to sit down with and have chats with. So when one, I know you mentioned a lot of different areas and avenues of your organization. Specifically, at what stage are you looking for people to work with? Are you looking for the entrepreneur who has just started out, maybe the entrepreneur who's floundering and hasn't, you're like, okay, I need help. What is your ideal goal?
So we love working with everybody, and we have different ways of doing that, whether it be through our, you know, courses and free trainings and educational materials, or through our paid engagements as clients. But primarily, we focus on solopreneurs who have some experience with their business and they're looking either to rebrand and really tap into who they are, or they're looking to scale and grow.
Okay, I just wanted to know where I was on the list because I'm looking to scale and grow. I have to take Ash Sharifa to the next level so I can get all of you out in front of the world. So I have more questions for you, Andrea, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest so that way we can start the conversation, get this going, get this engagement going, and start the learning. Our next guest is Melissa Karofchek. She is an author of 10 books, and she focuses on social entrepreneurism, philanthropy, and she's also a consultant. Good morning, Melissa. How are you?
I'm awesome. How are you?
I'm excited to have you here. The whole theme today seems to be entrepreneurs, 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 and I love it. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Melissa, and what you do.
So I typically work with the 1%, the ultra wealthy. I've owned a consulting firm for 13 years and have built, I don't know how many businesses, thousands of businesses over the last 13 years, and have helped so many people. But at the end of the day, I came from nowhere and nothing. So my little town had 277 people. And my dad specifically said, like, you're not going to make it, because his dad didn't make it and his dad didn't make it. And I said, well, that's not going to happen. I'm going to make it. And so I was the first in my family. And I think that's the biggest accomplishment for me, is just to be able to have that ultimate freedom and be able to travel wherever and help people along the way. And so it's not where you came from or what you had or didn't have. It's what your mindset says you can achieve, and then what you ultimately do on a daily basis to achieve those things.
Now, I usually don't pry into people's business. Actually, that's not true. I pry into people's businesses every morning at 8 o'clock. But I usually don't pry too much into their personal financial business. But I'm just curious, because you said I was the first to make it. And usually when somebody says that, it's followed by, you know, first to make it to college, first to do this, first to do that. So specifically in your family, are you the first person to make it out of this town?
So that's a first person to make it out of the town, the first person to move into a mansion, the first person to sell their company for 8 figures or even make 7 figures at that, probably even 6 figures. the first to do a lot of the things that embody. Now, what's awesome actually about this is my dad and my father have now become successful entrepreneurs, and two of my uncles and now my cousin. So as of last year, there were 6 of us, but it took a long freaking time, 200 years, 6 generations, and one person to say, like, dude, I'm not doing this.
No, I love it. That's wonderful. So Melissa, where are you located?
Oh, I'm in the heart of Minneapolis.
Okay. Well, one way or another, I think I'm going to head to Minneapolis, sit down there and talk to you, because I want to be the first of the 8 figures as well. So I need to rub elbows a little bit with you, Melissa.
Awesome. We can do that.
I think most of our audience wants to learn how to be the first. So what are some of the strategies that you offer to people who are like, you know what, I have to break this generational curse?
Honestly, I work on checklists. And so this is the easiest thing for anybody on any season of their life. So take a checklist and start working with it. Pilots never leave the ground without their co-pilots or their stewardess running through a checklist. Your race car drivers never run their cars without their guys running through a checklist. Doctors do not do surgery without running through a checklist. So checklists are absolutely pivotal to success, whether it's, and honestly, I have this on my refrigerator, like I got a haircut, or I maintained my car, or I mowed my lawn, or any of those things. But in business, it's like, hey, who was the last person you reached out to? Why did you reach out to them? Why do you think they were significant to your business? How often are you going to touch base with them? Can you send them a thank you card? Like, all of those little touch points are absolutely critical to your success. So a checklist is the first and the last place I would go to be successful in whatever area you choose, be it fitness or money or even just investing in relationships.
I'm curious. I love that, you know, because I'm thinking before the show, I have a checklist, my little checklist of things I say to the guests before coming on the show. But yeah, what is the psychology, at least in your belief system, behind success and the checklist?
I'll give you it's not so much psychology. It's literally that you are crystal clear on what you're trying to achieve. Cannot get distracted by your dogs or your kids or really anything else, because you know that this is what you're working towards. Mm-hmm. And then because it's written out, you don't really have that opportunity to say, like, well, I forgot, because mm-hmm. you didn't forget. And it was so important that you wrote it down. So energetically, you're like, I'm going to achieve this. And it's been proven statistically that if you write something down, you're 93% more likely to achieve that thing. So, I mean, whatever's a priority to you, you're going to write down and you're going to make happen. So I love the checklist idea, just because I know that it works over and over and over.
That's wonderful. Andrea, you have checklists?
I do. I totally believe the same thing, that once you write it down in a checklist, you're much more committed to accomplishing it.
That's wonderful. I want to introduce our next guest. And I'm gonna see if he has some checklists. I don't know, but he is an award-winning commercial photographer and film director, Mr. Michael Greco. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Thank you. I want to thank you for having me and our audience for watching today.
You are welcome. Thank you for joining us. Do you have checklists, Michael?
I have more lists and more software and more organization than you can imagine. So, I think that organizing your business in general is very, very important. So I'm constantly, sometimes I'll use my email as my checklist and I'll use a list. I'll use my calendar. If someone doesn't pick up the phone who was supposed to, I wanted to get a hold of, I'll put a calendar event for a couple of days later. Like, I have many strategies on how to accomplish what I need. And most of it for me is working out of my email box. Mm-hmm. I'll BCC myself on emails that are important that I need to follow up with. Mm-hmm. And every couple of weeks, I'll go through 600 emails in my email box to make sure to get them down to about 250 or 300 and make sure I've replied again or reached out again or made sure that something's happened. So it's organization's very important. You can't run a business without it.
That is definitely key. I'm always interested when people discuss emails and inboxes because my inbox is always empty. Like it never has emails. And people always say, how do you do that? Like my friend's like, I have 23,000 emails in my inbox. I'm like, no. Mine has right now probably 3 and those are pending. And then once I've finished it, it's out of the inbox. So that's just me.
Yeah. I mean, I've got an email system. So my, I've got rules in my email that filter emails to their appropriate boxes, Amazon and newsletters and stuff like that. But I work out of my email box. I mean, that's my list. Mm-hmm. So not everyone answers you. I wish the world worked as quickly as I do mm-hmm. and answered in at the speed that I do. But mm-hmm. I can send an email to, I've got a new book coming out in November. I'm trying to put together gallery shows. I can email a gallery and never hear from them. So mm-hmm. in 2 weeks, I need to go through my emails again and remember to reach out to that gallery to either call or email again. And I just work out of my email box. I heard Steve Jobs did that. So I figured if it was good enough for Steve Jobs, it's good enough for me.
Hey, I don't know, but I might have to look into it. If that's what Steve Jobs does, I might have to consider it. I work out of mine too. That's why I get rid of everything. It's like done, complete, finished, answered, responded. And everybody's always like, wow, you get back to us so fast. I'm like, because I got to handle it and get it done. But I digress a little bit. We're talking about emails and lists and organization. I was just kind of curious. But you are an award-winning commercial photographer. Also a film director, Michael. That's interesting to me. What has this last 2 months or 3 months been like for you?
Well, I focused. I think that many of our entrepreneurs here and our entrepreneurs in our audience can probably understand. For the photography market, you've had the classic glut of supply because digital cameras have made it easy for everyone to be a photographer mm-hmm. and lack of high-end demand because magazines are going out of business and advertising has moved to social media where it's ephemeral, where it's quick and easy and cheap. And so I'm focusing my efforts on businesses and things to make money at this point in my life and have not been shooting a tremendous amount to begin with. So the past 3 months have really just affected not my shooting, but my travel. I did mm-hmm. 45,000 miles in January and February in the air. Mm-hmm. I had business trips to London and all over the place. And I haven't gone anywhere since February 24th or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I had a show planned at Photo London, which would have been last week. Photo London obviously canceled the big art fair. They canceled that event. There's a photography festival that my wife and I go to in the south of France in Arles that's been canceled. So it's really the travel and the stay at home. But I'm I'm still working from my desk where I have my inbox and my email, and which is my list. And, you know, we're still pushing through stuff.
Mm-hmm. How has it been? One of the things that we've discussed is just the mental aspects of it. You know, you've obviously had to make some adjustments. You're unable to travel. You're in the house. How were you able to remain positive and happy? What are some of the things that you did during that process?
I actually welcomed it, because for the past 3 years, my wife lived in New York. She had a business in New York. Mm-hmm. She decided to close that business and us move out here full time, but we were commuting. I mean, the amount of travel, I do about 110,000 miles in the air every year, and that became a lot. So it was actually a welcome change in a way, not to be getting on an airplane every week or every 2 weeks and be commuting. We actually closed our New York apartment on February 20th. Mm-hmm. which just happened to be really, really lucky, and moved everything back to our Los Angeles, our Santa Monica place. So it felt like a welcome change, but now I'm really ready to go somewhere.
I think everyone is. It's like, that was nice. I remember I made a post and I thought this was like so profound. I usually think most posts are profound, by the way. Like, I was like, this is a good post. I'm gonna put it out there. And it said something to the extent of, if you're not doing something to be productive during this time frame, you're wasting the opportunity of a lifetime. And then I got the comments back where they're like, Sharifa, you know, you don't have to be doing something. You don't have to be productive. Some people just, you know, been working for years and they need a break. And I was like, oh my God. And I felt so bad. And I was like, yes, there are people like yourself who have been traveling a lot, who needed just to woosah for a minute, to just sit and just breathe and just take a moment.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean, I mean, for me, and I'm sure there are other people in the audience that can understand this. I mean, for me, this is a great time to build businesses too. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a time where you can get people to focus on things. I mean, I'm about to start two new businesses, one that's on its way, and then one's we're talking about conceptually. And it's a great time where people will answer the phone and can mm-hmm. focus on other things. And if they aren't in a crisis over the virus rioting and protesting, they're home with time to focus on projects.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Definitely. Heard what you said with the rioting and protesting. I do have some more questions, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, and we discuss travel. So Hamim Mashtagian is the co-founder of El Cid Tour. Good morning, Hamim. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You are welcome. Thank you for joining us. How are you this morning?
Good, good. Actually, here in Barcelona, it's afternoon, and this is starting to open like past few weeks. So things going to normal right now, and you know, people have energy, and you know, after a few weeks, that everyone focuses on their own businesses, on their things to do. We open actually we have an online travel agency, but we open registration, and we use this opportunity to focus on, you know, the online aspects of our business, like SEO or you know, social media improvement. So I totally agree with that idea that, you know, in lockdown, we can focus on different aspects of our business or improve the, you know, different aspects of it.
So tell us a little bit about El Cid Tours, though. You are one of the first tour companies to start in your destination.
Yeah. Actually, in Europe, there are many companies that, you know, took tourists to the Middle East. But we actually focus on Turkey, Emirates, and Iran specifically. Mm-hmm. And we started from Spain, because there are some, you know, similarities, cultural similarities between two region, especially Portugal, Spain, and Middle East. So we started to focus on that. And then we tried to grow our business to the whole Europe. So, and also we try to focus on the medical tourism, because Turkey is like one of the hottest destination in medical tourism right now in the world. Mm-hmm. So we started to attract, you know, patients to clinics there in Istanbul. And I think this is a good opportunity, because as we did a market research last year, it has a great potential to attract people to this region, in Dubai, in Istanbul, in other part of Middle East as well. Soon we will grow our services to Uzbekistan, Oman, Qatar. So I hope pretty soon we have the whole region for, you know, open for tourists.
So let me ask you a question. I mean, do you know a lot of people?
Actually, 2 years ago when I wanted to start, no, in Barcelona, I arrived here 3 years ago. So I went to business school and started to work as an intern and grow my, you know, connections. You know, I went to some exhibitions just as an intern and introduced myself, try to find some people to connect with. But now, in terms of the, you know, business to business connections, for the first year, I think that that's pretty good. I'm happy with that. But, you know, in the long run, we need to focus and try much harder.
So that was a yes, or you know a lot of people? Because I need a personal favor.
You know, in terms of business, yes, here in Barcelona. But, you know, in Europe, no, I don't know much people.
I don't need people in Europe. This is what I need you to do for me, okay? I need you to find someone in the royal family, okay? I need a prince or something. I need to get married and move to Dubai. I need you to help me, okay? Help me. Help the sister out. Do you know anybody in the royal family?
I really want to. I try my best, because I know that, you know, Dubai is one of the, you know, best destination in the world. So
I know. I'm giving you a hard time. He looks like he's on the hot seat. Like, oh my God. I was just wondering, because someone somewhere knows someone in the Saudi royal family or the Dubai royal family. They know a prince or something, and I'm trying to find one. I want to be wife number 32. That's, for some reason, I like that number, because the first 30 wives, they do too much work. I want him to just buy me a house and just forget I even exist.
Where's 31?
They over there with him. They in the house with him, Melissa. They're distracting him so he don't think about me. Okay, I'm gonna stop giving y'all a hard time.
You're looking at a travel agency for a dating hookup?
I'm looking for you too, Melissa, because all you eight-figure people all hang out in the same community. So I'm going to come down there and talk to you about finding me a rich husband. That's why I do this show. The whole point of this show is to ask everybody, Andrea, Michael, Melissa, Hameen, does anybody know a rich man who wants to wife? I'm gonna stop. Let me stop. I'm giving y'all a hard time today. Melissa's calling me out on my shit, though. Melissa's like, look, there are important things going on in the world, and you're trying to get a husband. I'm sorry. I forgot all about my next guest. I didn't really, but I'm gonna bring you in so it doesn't, I don't feel as bad. Our next guest, she's so young. She's here to help people like me, Abby Reeder. And she is a local SDSU student, as well as a Rock Church member. And she has launched San Diego's chapter of Leave It to Us, fee-free senior citizen shopping. Good morning, Abby. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm good. How are you?
I am good. Sorry for not having a husband. But other than that, I'm wonderful. I'm wonderful. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure.
One of the things that interests me about your bio, obviously, is the Leave It to Us, the fee-free senior citizen shopping. And so I want to hear about that. But one of the things that I really was so proud of, just proud of in America, was that stores began to give hours on certain days to senior citizens, because people were coming in, they were hoarding, taking all the toilet tissue, taking all the water, and then the senior citizens didn't have anything left. And they said, you know what, let's take care of this group of people. So tell us a little bit about the Leave It to Us.
Yeah, so Leave It to Us is a nonprofit that started in Chicago by a University of Alabama student, and it got really big up there. And so he decided to start expanding nationwide. And I found out about it through a friend in LA, actually, who told me, do you want to come help? And I was like, well, unfortunately, I'm in San Diego, but I'd love to start a chapter here. So I reached out to the founder in Chicago, and a couple of Zoom calls later, we were able to get it all set up. And yeah, we've been serving seniors for the last couple of months now. We do it free of any fees. We just ask for reimbursement for the groceries themselves. And we drop off, one of my volunteers will shop for the senior and drop off the groceries outside of their home, so that they don't have to come into contact with anyone. And it's completely safe. And we always make sure to follow all the protocols.
When did Leave It to Us launch in San Diego?
I think around mid-March. It was shortly after my soccer, I'm a soccer player at SDSU, and so our spring season got canceled due to COVID-19, and so I had a lot of time on my hands, and so when I found out about this around March, I decided to get it launched here.
So this was launched as a direct result of COVID-19, correct?
Yes, yeah, in order to service seniors, yeah.
Okay, and how does that make you feel, though, that you're able to go out and help people?
It's incredibly rewarding. The emails we get from seniors just demonstrating how thankful they are, it makes it so worthwhile. Like, it's a volunteer program, but I would take the intrinsic reward of being able to help people who are in such a need for this service over having money for it. Like, I just love being able, you know, we'll hear people who say, I have cancer, I have this or that, you know, all these different comorbidities, and I'm afraid to go out, and I don't have any family in the area, like, can you please help me? And it's like, absolutely, like, we're so happy to help you, happy to help anyone who's in that position. And I mean, our ultimate goal is to keep people safe who are particularly at a high risk for getting seriously sick from COVID. So if we only accept volunteers who, you know, feel comfortable and healthy enough to go out into the community to do this shopping for seniors and other high-risk individuals. So if we can put that burden on ourselves, who are at a lower risk than you, like, absolutely, like, let's do it. Let's help you.
How do the seniors typically find out about the program?
A lot of our exposure has been through the news, through TV articles. We do a lot of Facebook marketing as well. That's been pretty effective.
Do you feel, or to your knowledge, is this going to be an ongoing program, or was this created for this specific purpose, and that's where it's going to end?
Well, originally it was created for this specific purpose for COVID-19, but I'm starting to realize as we evolve that even when life goes back to normal for the majority of us, people who are at high risk for getting the virus or having serious complications from the virus, they're still not going to be able to go out long past when we, like, I mean, I feel like things are kind of going back to a new sense of normal, but they're definitely still not for our seniors. And I don't see it going back to a true normal for them for a really long time. And I think that since we do have this group of about 50 volunteers together now who are clearly dedicated to serving their community, I think that's a really special thing to have together. And I think it holds great value to keep this group together and keep us working towards improving the community no matter what the times are.
You are very well spoken.
Thank you.
I just wanted to point that out. You are very well, you know, because I love doing these shows and I hear people all the time and they're like, oh, look at the, you know, the kids, not to call you a kid, but to look at the young people, they're out doing this, they're out doing that. So when I see one, I'm like, you know what? You are our future. When I see someone who is doing something positive in the community, making a difference, giving of their time, I just personally would love to applaud you in your efforts.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You are so welcome. Now, again, my panel is quiet today. I got to get the panel up, and it's early in the morning, except for Hermine in the afternoon. If you have questions or comments for any of today's guests, please feel free to jump in and ask your questions. While you think of your questions, I'm going to go back over to Hermine. We keep talking about the new normal, the new normal, the new normal. There are people who feel that we never get back to exactly the way things are. One of the things that you mentioned is that you refocus online. You focused on what you can do online. Do you feel moving forward that you're going to still have the same focus online, or are you just going to go back to tours the way they were?
Actually, you know, the travel changed in past few years. You know, it converts to online business. Although the travel is to visit everywhere, but, you know, the concept of the travel agency, booking tours, and all the process is go through the whole process of mobile and, you know, laptop process. So, but I prefer, you know, to focus on online marketing and social media, because, you know, in future it has, you know, more impact on my clients. So if, for example, if you put, you know, the experiences and cultural behaviors on your website, and give them opportunity to visitors to look at them, feel them, you know, book them through your website. Actually, it's much better than someone come to the store and ask, well, what's gonna do for, you know, next month, what you will offer us, I don't know, in Mexico, for example. But you have it online on your website. You know, I also look for some, you know, partners that create like a virtual reality, you know, virtual reality views. So I want to create some of the, you know, best destinations in my area as a virtual reality and put them on my website so the clients can visit there. And these destinations are not in Google. So you can watch them, you know, see them on Google, but this is not a 3D view. So I think this is a good experience as well when you know, share the feelings of, you know, being there with your clients.
Now, many people feel that, you know, with the advance of the internet, they can just go and book any package. So they no longer need a travel agent. No, they don't need a tour company. What is your response to that?
Actually, you know, for research, you don't need any travel agent. But for book, you need a travel agent, because when you want to book something and want to start travel, you don't know what's going to happen. So you should trust someone to give you the idea of the past experience. You can read the review of a destination or a tour guide, but unless you trust on someone to do this, so it won't gonna happen. So you need someone to trust and ask someone who already, you know, felt this and experienced these feelings of travel into unknown places, or I don't know, when you wanna, you know, book a medical experience for medical tourism, you need someone to, you know, give you advice, give you like the reason to trust. So I think travel agent is the major and important role here, play an important role here, because it gives you this trust that you can trust in us and book with us, so we can create and tailor-made your experience, which is now is very important. You know, the normal travel agency, I think, has gone. So each travel agency, even the smallest one, should tailor-made the experience that offered to the clients. So I think that would be very important in the next few years.
I like that. I definitely like that answer. Is we are all changing, but we are all still basically the same. So I wanted to go over to, who was that? I'm sorry, I had a question. Melissa, because I got talking about the list and the information. And I love your story. Your story came from the heart. But one of the things that intrigued me about you in your bio was that you've written, authored 10 books. There are so many people who, you know, they've been working on dreaming of one book for 30 years. They haven't actually gotten to write it. But you've written 10 books, correct?
Yes, yes. It's actually funny because it's COVID. So I'm like, you know, I need my hair done, my nails done. Like, you know, I need my teeth whitened. So a couple of days ago, I actually had the hairstylist come over and she saw my 10 books, which are literally right here on this wine shelf. And she goes, "What are those books with your name on them?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, it's just books that I wrote." Because I don't really go around saying, "Oh, hey, I wrote 10 books, like I'm somebody." So she had mentioned like her daughter has been cheering her on for many, many years because she's been a hairstylist for 17 years. And just saying like, "Go mom, write your book, like I'm here to support you." And I think it's a struggle. So I write about life, life and business and all that kind of fun stuff. But the first two books I wrote in 2014, and if you line my books up, the spines are upside down and I refuse to change it because it's the story of, I didn't know what I was doing. You don't have to know what you're doing. You just need to actually do it. So when I go on tours or do any of those things, I'm like, here's my 10 books. And the first two are upside down because I didn't know and nobody told me. And so you just got to do you. And if you do you, you will be successful.
You make everything sound so easy. So I want to go to your class. When is your class or your next webinar, your next training? I want to sign up, Melissa.
Okay, well, we can work together one-on-one because it's all I do.
You make everything sound so simple, so easy. I made 10 books, two of them were wrong. That's okay. It's life. Like you're full. I was in the town.
You gotta fail. Like you just gotta fail to be successful. Like Michael was talking about how he's got these two businesses that he's gonna open. One is just a concept and one is like on its way. And Abby's like, "Hey, I thought of this idea on the go, but now that I've engaged myself in community," and I think that's the key is, and that's something that you've built here is like, we've all become a community. So I can't imagine that the six of us are gonna walk away today and say like, "I don't wanna touch base with any of us," because at the end of the day, like all of us spent the last hour and we've committed to each other this time and space and energy. And so it would do a disservice to all of us to not connect outside of this space.
That's how you get people to sign up for your class right there, Melissa, because I'm still signing up. I'm going to make you a class. You don't even have a class, but look, you're going to go to this class and all of us are going to be sitting there like, "Okay, what next, Melissa? What do we need to do?"
So I actually have a question. Can I ask the panel a question?
That's what we're here for. You go, Melissa.
Okay, so y'all have really good energy and Michael's already drinking water and I've seen Abby do this. So like, where do you get your energy from? Like what makes you wake up in the morning and be like, "I'm about to go out and find a platform to speak my truth and my passion"?
I think for me, it's just, it's the drive I have. It's like, I actually love getting into the office. I love being on a shoot. I love what I do. And I love all aspects of what I do. It's the business part, the running the business, the creative part, the artistic part, you know, being a photographer, you learn to be a problem solver. There's physical problems. There's, artistic solutions. There are things to figure out. You have to figure out the lighting. If you want to hang someone upside down in a photograph, you have to figure out how to do it. You're always problem solving. And I think for me, that was exciting in photography, and it's, as I do it in business, it's just as exciting. So I come up to my office, which is upstairs in my house, and I'm excited to go to work. So that's what drives me.
Yeah, I can resonate with that for sure. I feel like I'm very driven by my kind of future orientation. Like I'm always thinking about, okay, what can I do today to be better tomorrow, to get myself closer to my future goals? And so I always want to be like my best version of myself. Like, what can I do to make myself improve, to make myself better. And so like, ultimately, like for me personally, I want to be a doctor. So I'm always thinking, what's the next step on my path to becoming a doctor? So right now for me, that's working a medical internship for the summer and working at a pediatric office. So every day I'm thinking, how can I do my job the best that I can so that I can put myself in the best position to be able to get into medical school and work toward my ultimate goal. So,
are you wanting to be a doctor in that area?
In pediatrics, yeah.
In the area that you're at right now, I mean, like in the community that you're at.
Oh, in like in San Diego?
Yeah.
Ideally, I'd love to. I'd love to stay here if I can.
I mean, you're already engraved in the community, so I would just encourage you to stay involved in the community as long as you can, because that's how you're going to get your patients. And just having those connections are going to build your office so much more quicker, whether you tend to realize that now or not. What you're doing is awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, I actually hadn't really even thought about like the importance of staying in my community with these relations that I've already formed. So that's a really good point. Thank you.
Yeah, those doors are going to open for you very quickly, especially if you've got already like a crew of 50 bonded people that are knowing everybody else outside of that.
Oh, for sure.
Andrea?
I'm a communication strategist, and that really is my passion. It's been something that I didn't even know that I wanted to do from a very young age. I literally fell into it because that's who I am. And at the Solopreneur Society, we base everything on brand archetypes. I mean, it really starts from who you are inherently. And so my archetypes are, I am the mouth of a sage, the heart of an outlaw, and the soul of a lover. And so for me, it's that sage side is sharing that knowledge with solopreneurs, like helping my clients and our students understand how to develop their communication strategy to launch and grow a product or a service or whatever messaging that they're trying to do. That really is what gets me up and excited every single day. But then that outlaw kicks in, and it's, like I said, the disruption part of it, the rebellious part of it. It's the helping to give the solopreneurs the permission. Actually, I'm not giving them permission. I'm helping them to see that they have the permission to do and be whatever they want to be in this world in order to fulfill their mission and their vision. And so I just get so excited about that. And, you know, all of the things that I've been able to do as a result of staying true to that has been amazing. And so that's what keeps me going.
I love that. And I love that you know who you are, and you're so well like spoken about, like, this is who I am and this is how I'm showing up, and that like attracts like. So
thank you.
That's cool. Hamim and Sharifa, I would love for you to answer too.
Yes, for me, actually, the vision that I already have, you know, helped me to, you know, get up every morning and try to reach it, because it's your personal vision. It's not someone else's vision. It's very hard to get up for someone else and do the job for someone else, for, you know, for his dream to come true. So, but, you know, I have one thing to get. So every day I get up, even in lockdown, I got up and try to fix things together and try to call someone else and build connection. So I think that, you know, if you every morning think about the, you know, goals that you want to achieve, it will help you to catch it. It will help you to have the energy and focus every day on what you want to get.
That's awesome.
I like that. For me, it's just, I love to help people. I love to be of service to people. That coupled with the fact that I'm a lifelong learner, I love to learn. I always tell people, to a certain extent, I do these shows for selfish reasons, because how else can I ask people who know what I want to learn? You know, I'm interested in producing more content. That's why I created my $50,000 fundraiser to produce television shows. So I have people like Michael. I'm like, hey, how do you do this? How do you do that? You know, you're in film, and I just love to learn business. Andrea, how do you do that? How do entrepreneurs, solo entrepreneurs, how do they work better? Because I went to work initially to talk to my coworkers. Like when I was actually employed, like I went to go to lunch. Like I'd be like, hey, I see Melissa at lunch. I do my little work, but then I sit down and have lunch. So I just love people. I love helping people and I love learning. So that's really what motivates me. I think that was an excellent question. I love how you moderated it. That was kind of cool. People typically don't do that. I wanted to follow up with Andrea on your answer when you mentioned the archetypes.
Yeah.
Do you have a test that with your organization? Because I'm like, I got to take that
we
test.
We do, as a matter of fact. I love how you keep setting me up here.
I try. That's what I do.
And you're very good at it. Actually, yes, we do. We have a brand personality test. It's not like any other online quiz that you've taken before, because that's not how we roll. And at the end of it, it will tell you what your primary archetype and your secondary archetype are. And these are based off of the archetypes from Carol Pearson and Margaret Mark, who then based their findings off of the work of Carl Jung. So these are definitely psychology-based archetypes. And then what we do is we provide services and products that help people to really fully understand what that archetype means for them and how they're going to use it to show up in the world. So it's at our website, which I don't know if there's maybe a link that is in the description or something, but yeah, we absolutely do have a personality quiz.
Yes, it's in the description, but if you want to go ahead and give it to us.
The solopreneursociety.com/brand quiz.
Okay, I'm gonna go check it out. Maybe I'll take that quiz. And in regards to what Abby was saying, I think Melissa gave wonderful advice about being a part of your community. And I think it's great that you want to be a doctor, that you are going to be a doctor. And one thing that I see is that you have a great bedside manner. Like I took some Facebook quiz the other day and it said that I should be a doctor. And I was like, I have a horrible bedside manner. I really do. Like, you know, at 44, I know myself at this point. I'm not the person to call when you're sick at all. Cause I'm like, it's not good. So Abby, yours is, I can see the smile. Like I would just feel safe when you walked into the room. I would just be like, Abby's here. Everything's going to be okay.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, that's the social aspect of being a doctor is one of my favorite parts about it, and what draws me to that career for sure. I love just interacting with people, talking to people, getting to know them, and I'd love the opportunity to form those long-lasting and meaningful relationships with patients.
You were good. Like that was almost like it was scripted. Like it was those political responses when the president comes to make his speech. It's like, you know what? That was really good. I like that.
Thank you.
You are so welcome. Melissa, any other questions for the panel? Because, you know, I felt like you were...
I got endless questions for this panel. I think, like, does your story motivate you to do what you do? Or was it something in your life that triggered you? Like, Abby, did you have like a medical disease and you were like, oh, I want to be a doctor? Because I got to say, like way, way back in the day, I wanted to be a doctor and I wanted 12 kids. So I went to Mayo. I saw someone deliver a baby and I was like, I'm out. And not only am I out, I do not want 12 kids either. So like, what was the trigger point or the thing in your life that shifted you into this place of purpose and passion?
You know, I didn't have any experiences like that where I was seeing a doctor for extended periods of time, but it was, for me, it's just been kind of a combination of a lot of things added together that have accumulated to put me exactly where I am today. You know, I took a human anatomy and physiology class in high school, you know, 4 years ago, that first, I guess, initiated my interest in medicine. And then I kind of was exploring different aspects of medicine and what field I might want to go into, you know, be a nurse, a PA, a doctor. And then ultimately, I had a conversation with one of my advisors, and he, because I was kind of leaning towards being a physician assistant because it's less school, it's a quicker path to just being able to work right away. And so that's kind of what I thought I wanted to do. And then my counselor told me, you know, you have to really think about, like, what do you want to do? Do you want to do this because it's easier, or do you want to do this because it's what you want to do? And so I had to just kind of take a step back and be honest with myself and say, you know, medical school is going to be hard and it's going to be long and it's going to be a tough journey, but I feel like that's something I'm being called to and that I need to follow through with, and I need to respond to that calling. And so just had to be honest with myself and decided to go ahead and move forward with that path.
I love the use of the word calling. Yes, because when you're called to do something, you have to do it. No matter what, you have to do it. And whether you do it now, when you're young, or whether you do it years later, it's something that you have to do. One of the things that I'm curious about, though, is you want to be a doctor. Did anything with COVID-19 kind of affect you or make you take a second thought about being a doctor?
So I had, during when COVID started, I was working an internship in an ICU. And mm-hmm. so I want to say close to more than half of the interns that were part of my internship program decided to leave the internship after COVID happened. But I decided to stay. And that definitely clarified a lot for me and just confirmed my ambitions that this is what I want to do, that even when the world is in crisis and like I have to put myself at risk and take the risk of getting this disease or getting this virus, that's something that I learned through this experience that I am willing to do. And even as an unpaid intern, I still felt like I had a responsibility to follow through with the commitment that I had made to when I accepted the internship to help people. So that was a pretty solidifying. All of COVID has been really solidifying for my life, and I've learned a lot from everything that's happened.
That's wonderful. Now you do this for me. You go tell your parents, say you don't know her, but Sharifa Hardy said, good job, okay? Make sure you let them know. Job well done. You're a good kid. You're a good kid. I like that. That's wonderful. Now, we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to everyone who's watching the show live, as well as everyone who's watching it in the archives, and really let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance. And we're going to start with you, Hameen.
Okay. I want to tell them that, you know, don't panic in this moment of the hardness and hardship. You know, we can focus still, keep our focus to what they want to do. Just have a strategy and plan for the future. And with strategy and planning, everything will be happen. Even if you don't have talent, you're not talented in something, just with hardship and hard work, and having a strategy, you will easily get this. And I'm pretty sure, it's because for myself it's true. You know, I didn't, you know, see myself in this situation that I am right now. I felt that, you know, I went to the other way and something else, but now I'm in this tourist business. For like 2 years, I'm really happy because I really wanted to. So I started to plan and, you know, build a good strategy to get what I want.
That's right. Build that strategy to get what you want. I love those words. Michael, what do you have for us?
I think that, you know, you really can't be successful unless you're doing something you like, and you have to live your dream, right? So you have to do things that inspire you and get you wanting to go into your office and work, or get out and be with people, or whatever that is. So I think you've got to follow your heart. And the reality is sometimes it's tough. It's like my business, but the photography business is tough. For musicians, it's tough. For actors, it's tough. And I think that if you really want it, it's just perseverance. You've got to just persevere and figure out how to do it. So I think that's the important thing to take away.
That is wonderful words to live by. Abby, what do you have for us?
I want to encourage anyone watching to think of a goal that you have, something you've always wanted to do, but just haven't gotten around to implementing it. And just really look at it and think, okay, like this is something that I can do, and just break it down into subsequent steps and smaller goals to meet that will eventually all add up to that big goal. And I think that that's a really good way to go about achieving things that you want to set your mind to achieve. That's a strategy that I like to use.
See, I was right. I mean, come on, we got to congratulate Abby's parents. Yeah. You are just amazing. I love it. Goal setting strategies. You were paying attention in school and listening to your parents. Good girl. Andrea, what do you have for us?
From a messaging standpoint, I just want to say that, you know, platitudes and hyperbole, they just won't cut it, right? Our audiences want to know our core business values. They want to know what we stand for and what we stand against. And so this is the time for real transparency, not that BS that we've had up until now. Like, really put yourself out there and let your audience know who you are.
When you say let your audience know who you are from a company, from a business perspective, what does that look like for you?
That means being very clear, being very clear about, look, these are the values that I hold as a business owner. This is what you can expect from me. This is what I stand for. This is what I stand against. You know, let people see who you are. This is me as a sage trying to help you to learn, as you say, Sharifa, about the things that you don't know about. Or this is me as the caregiver wanting to be protective and an advocate for you. They want to know these things. They want to know who you are.
No, that's interesting, because one of the things that I've read, especially in this day and age, a lot of more of the millennials or the younger people are more concerned about who you are as a company, what you're doing for society, as opposed to in the past where it was just about how much you're paying me, you know, what my title is. It's like, okay, but what does the company represent as a whole? What do they stand for? What are you doing for the community? You know, who are you supporting? Who are you helping? Those are topics or issues that are more important, I think, today now than ever.
Right. And that's the translation, right? As a solopreneur, it's about you because you are the business. But to your point, as a corporate, it is what is the organization? The organization still has a pulse. The organization still has an identity, and your buyers, your customers want to know what that is.
That is wonderful words of advice. Melissa, we're going to let you take us out of the show.
All right, so I would say four things: automate, delegate, delete, and donate. So what do you need to donate out of your life? And just put it on Facebook Marketplace and say, buy, whoever comes picks it up, you got it. No price tag. Delete, girl, I'm with you. All my emails, inbox, zero all the way. So I'd be deleting all that kind of stuff. Delegate, like, who's going to be your team, your community, and how are they going to support you? And then back to the list. Mm-hmm. So getting clear. So for you, like, you're like, hey, I want Prince Charming riding in on this awesome carriage or Lamborghini and bring me a castle. I would really advise you to just look at that. Like, do you really want the physical thing? Because I know, like, when I started dating, I was like, yep, you got to make over 100,000. You got to match my lifestyle. You got to be able to just jump on a train and or a bus or anywhere and go to some foreign country on the drop of a dime. But then I was like, do I really want that? And the answer is no. I want someone who's going to care for me. I want someone who's going to spend quality time with me. I want someone who's really interested in what I'm interested in. I want all the things that money cannot buy. So by getting that clarity, it helped me, like, open up my own self and just say, like, maybe the things that I think I value are not the things that I actually value at all. So in doing this process of delegating and deleting and automating and donating, you really find out on a core level who it is that you are and what it is that you stand for, and you can stand in those values and share those.
I think that's amazing. So now I got to look at why I want to be in the royal family, like what my reasons are. And so I'll just add a little love and a little affection, and as they say, a little tenderness to my castle. Okay. Does that work for you, Melissa?
No, it doesn't. Because all those things can be given in the form of physical things like candles and flowers and all that stuff. But then, like, okay, so prime example, I thought of this while I was walking through the airport. I see all these men on their cell phones and they're away from their families. And Michael actually explained this. His wife lived in a totally different state. But then I see these people that don't have that quantity of money, but they're carrying everyone's luggage and they're not on their phone and they're engaged fully in their family. They make these family dinners and they sit down and eat them together. That's what I personally want. And that's what I'm very privileged to have. But it took me a long time just to know, like, yeah, I don't want to get on your private jet with you and fly somewhere because I can get my own private jet. But I never wanted that because I didn't come from that.
Melissa, we're going to have you back so we can finish this conversation. We're going to have everyone back, you know, because there has to, you know, we're going to keep talking, Melissa, but I'm telling you, I'm going to get on that private jet because right now I don't have a private jet. So if he want to take me on his jet, I'm getting on the jet while I work on my jet. Like, compromise, work together. That's what we need. I want to thank all of you for being a guest on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I enjoyed myself. I hope all of you enjoyed yourself as well. Please come back because I have some follow-up questions I would love to ask. Also want to thank everyone who tuned into today's show. We appreciate your support. Please support our guests. Visit their website. Take the test Andrea mentioned. If you're thinking of going to Europe, Middle East, go check out El Cid Tours. You know, if you're in San Diego, God forbid something happens to you a few years from now or to your child, go take them to Dr. Reeder because she is amazing. And we are going to watch you, Michael. We're going to watch you and see those two businesses that you come out with since you don't want to share them on today's show. We're just going to spy on you and watch you and follow you. Is that okay, Melissa? Can I follow? No. Okay.
New book coming out in November called Punk, Post-Punk, and New Wave. So it'll be on my website, michaelgreco.com with two C's.
So that means you're going to come back before November?
Absolutely.
To tell us about this book and this business. Everybody keep me up to date. I want to know. So thank you all for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow. If you are interested in being a guest, please visit the website at asharifa.com. Until tomorrow, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.